Our scripture reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 12. Listen to the word of God. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your ways, evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. The word of the Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Bill. The prophecy of Jeremiah is not a cheery message. In case you haven't caught on to that, last week we talked about how the people of God had exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Today, we're talking about the notion of repentance, of turning away from evil ways to turn toward God. And next week, it's even less cheery. Just to give you advance notice, we'll talk about the kind of undoing of creation. The very same phrase appears in Jeremiah 4 that we'll look at next week as appears in Genesis 1. It speaks of the earth as formless and void. So I want to tell you up front, this is the best news of the 3 weeks. If you were here last week, if you're going to be here next week, this is the good news that we are getting this week. And it's given in such a way as to help us to relate. We tend to like to be in control of things, in control of our lives and everything around us. The problem with being in control is it leads to inflexibility and resistance to change. And things are constantly changing, and God is continually creating and changing things. You remember the Swiss, for instance. They were the world's leaders in producing the best watches money could buy. When digital watches were introduced, the Swiss refused to make them. The Japanese then became the world's leader in making watches, and many watchmaking companies in Switzerland went out of business. We humans have a tendency to believe that we are the masters of our own fate. We don't really believe that God intervenes in our lives and molds and shapes us as we just sang in that song. We would rather be in total control, but things can and do change. In the post-Civil War era, when Charles W. Eliot was president of Harvard University, he had occasion to dedicate a new hall of philosophy. And he searched and searched for an appropriate inscription to put on the new entrance. He called together his faculty members. After much deliberation, they agreed on the well-known Enlightenment phrase, which really has its roots in Greek culture, "Man is the measure of all things." With that, they adjourned for the summer. And when the faculty came back in the fall, there was a different inscription on the building. Instead of "Man is the measure of all things," President Charles Eliot had inscribed a more prayerful inscription from Psalm 8. "He chose, what is man, that thou art mindful of him." Things are constantly changing. And in case you're wondering, Harvard University's Hall of Philosophy still has the inscription of Psalm 8 on its entrance. "The Lord said through Jeremiah to the Israelites, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." In other words, God wants us to be flexible, to be pliable, to be ready to change and reworked when necessary. We're essentially clay in God's hands, but we resist the master potter. And when we're unwilling to trust that God can make something of nothing, God is frustrated with us. Instead of doing what God wants for us, we often override God's will and do what we want. We choose rebellion over repentance. It's been a long time since I've played with Play-Doh, but I'm getting the hang of it now with some grandchildren. And the first thing that children do when they open up Play-Doh is they take it and they kind of roll it in their hands and make a long worm out of Play-Doh. And that entertains them for a short time. They make a yellow one, then they make a blue one, then they make a red one. And after that, they decide, well, there's got to be more to this. So they kind of mix them all together in a lump, a very colorful mix of Play-Doh. So they end up with this blob, and they seem pretty pleased with their creation, to be honest. But rather than see their creation as a single, boring piece of Play-Doh, they create a colorful glob. I think this is how the master potter works in our lives in many ways. For thousands of years, potters played a major role in Israel's culture. The potter was a chief artisan in every village. There was no Walmart. There was no pottery shop. There was only a potter, a single place in each village, and that's where you went for your pots and pans. And in antiquity, potters also helped with building bricks and roof tiles and drain pipes and even beehives and writing materials. They were central to civilization. And Jeremiah is told, go to the potter's house. So he goes. He hikes across town, stands to watch the potter, and this is what Yahweh reveals to him. Whenever a piece of pottery is spoiled in the potter's hand, he doesn't throw the clay away. He reshapes it. He molds it into something new. He puts it on the wheel and starts again. And this is the message Jeremiah receives from the Lord. Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? If you've ever watched a real potter, an artisan at work, they put the clay on their slab and spin it around, constantly using their hands to shape it. At one point, the object may look like a bowl, but then before your eyes, it turns into a beautiful vase. And before the potter is finished, she puts a design on the outside of the vase that makes it a true work of art. I remember when McDonald's used to sell nothing but hamburgers, shakes, and fries, but eventually they learned they had to adjust to a new market. So today, to meet people's demands, they have added salads and snacks and sides. I don't know many people that go to McDonald's just for the salads, but they have them, in case you're wondering. And unlike the Swiss, who were unwilling to make changes, McDonald's has gone with the flow. When I was in college, I thought I should become a clinical psychologist, so I studied psychology and human behavior. But God had other plans for me. And while for a while I resisted the direction God wanted me to go, and I finally gave in and allowed God to shape me instead of following a path directed towards a prestigious line of work or from social pressure alone, I listened to God's voice. And the end result was 36 years of ministry. John Maxwell tells the true story about the time a soccer game was played between two schools in England. During the closing minutes of the contest, a boy more gifted with enthusiasm than experience was sent into the game for the first time, and forgetting all the rules of soccer, on one particular play, for instance, the rule that you don't touch the ball when you're playing soccer with your hands, only your feet and head, he picked up the ball, and to everyone's amazement, he sprinted towards the goal. The officials were confused. The other players on the team were stunned and just stood by. And he ran down, and his performance totally eclipsed the rest of the game. And as a result, a new sport was born. Today it's called rugby. True story. It's not easy to be clay in the potter's hands. Change can make us feel fearful. We don't like feeling like we're being remade, like the old is left behind. Parents must adjust to children leaving the nest. Partners have to adjust to different stages of life. Communities have to adjust to changes within their neighborhoods. And the church has to adjust to its different stages of life. It is our willingness to let God do God's handiwork that will enable us to live to our fullest potential. I don't believe God has an unalterable plan for our lives, but God does have a purpose for each one of us. And it seems that every time God has a plan for us, we go and foul it up with our sin so that God has to try again. Plan B this time. Or maybe some of us, God is a ways down the alphabet. Maybe he's at plan T or U or V or W or X or Y or Z. Yet God's ultimate purpose for us is unchanged. God decided long ago to do something for us and with us. And he doesn't throw us away when we make a mistake. He gives us another chance to repent so he can start over with us. God will give the lump of our life another design, another form, another use, and he won't give up on us. To God, we are infinitely valuable and worth all the trouble. Our lives may turn out differently than we expected. Nevertheless, we can trust that in the end, God will create nothing less than a human being in his own image. Verses 7 and 8 say, "If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned." And the phrase that I like the best in that verse is, "at any time." And that means literally, it could happen right now. It could happen immediately. At any time, God will have another try with our lumpy lives. I'm so thankful that our lives are in God's hands, the hands of the master potter. So let us let God shape our lives that we might become the vessels that he intended us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we respond to